Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
March 20th, 2007, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, outdoor portraiture. I have some good tips for you for taking portraits outdoors, even in what we consider photographically the worst of lighting. You know, this is a funny thing to me. A lot of times when I'm doing events, or let's say something like a wedding, and I'll go and I'll scout it out the day before, and maybe we have some high clouds or it's a little bit overcast, and I'm going, oh great, this is going to be really good for doing outdoor portraits and group shots and things like that. Then we get to the day of the event, usually the next day, and all the clouds and everything, they'll all go away. Everything will burn off, and there'll be like this laser beam bright sunlight. And inevitably, when this happens, one of the guests will come up to me and say, oh, aren't you so happy that we had this bright sunny day for outdoor portraits? And I'll look at them and go, it is a lovely day, I agree. And just thinking, you know, this is the kind of light that usually as photographers, we're not that crazy about unless we actually get to control how we use the light. And a lot of times we don't have that opportunity when we're shooting events or something like that. So bright laser beam light can be tough. Now, the good news is that what we're going to talk about today in this podcast, what I'm going to talk about and what you're going to be listening to, is going to be how to control that lighting. No matter, you know, it could be noon on the beach and you can get good portraits. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. And we're going to cover a few other goodies also. Before I get to that, I want to mention that this month's photo assignment, the photo assignment for March, is self-portrait, which I'm pretty excited about. You know, already just the entries that are coming in are, well, I say they're darn good. They're fun, and I'm really enjoying seeing what everyone's doing. I'm getting creativity. I'm getting just interesting people and interesting shots. It's really good stuff, and it's something that I hope that you will be a part of too, and send in your entry by the end of the month. If you have any questions about how to submit for the monthly photo assignment, just go to the submissions page on the Digital Story. That's thedigitalstory.com, and just look for that big submissions button on top, and it'll tell you everything you need to know to submit your photo. Also, grab shots. We've been getting some nice grab shots in lately, and I want more. I always want more, right? And so if you're sitting on some, if you haven't sent anything in for a while, consider going to the submissions page and seeing how that goes, and then just dropping me a grab shot or two. You probably won't hear from me right away, but then lo and behold, one morning you'll open your email, there'll be a note from me saying, guess what, you're on the cover of the Digital Story today, and off we go. So grab shots, this month's photo assignment, self-portrait, and I want to thank both of our sponsors, ExpoDisc at ExpoDisc.com, the fantastic way. You know, I lost an ExpoDisc the other day. Oh, so stupid. I had it sitting on top of my camera in the case, and I know never to put things on top of my camera in the case, because what happens is I see a shot, I go and pull the camera out, and whatever's sitting on top of it could come flying out too, and me not noticing it in my excitement. Sure enough, there was a really nice sunset over San Francisco, and I was up high, and I grabbed my camera, and I'm sure that my ExpoDisc was sitting on top of it, and out it flew. And I have not found it since. I even went back to the location the next day, but alas, no ExpoDisc was turned in or reported. So anyway, I'll be having to get another ExpoDisc myself. But anyway, the great way to do custom white balance. I've been using a sheet of paper the last few days, and I have to tell you, it's just not as satisfying. And also, our friends over at Boink Software, who make Photomagico, which is now version 2.0, just came out. So click on the tile in the digital story on the Photomagico tile and take a look. It is outstanding software for making slideshows. Okay, let's get back now to outdoor portraiture on bright sunny days. If you read my weblog post, back a few days ago about the photo disc, and it's actually the multi-disc made by PhotoFlex. I just kind of crammed them all into one word there, a little audio shorthand. Anyway, that's the assignment that Ben and I took upon ourselves, my photo buddy Ben, where we went out and we wanted to take portraits. They were actually demonstration shots for a class that we're working on a bright sunny day to sort of try to answer the question, when you have impossible lighting for portraiture, can you come away with a decent shot? And the answer is, in my opinion, yes, you can. Now, there's a couple ways I want to tackle that today. One is using these photo discs, which I think are really cool. These light discs, that's the brand name, but you know, there are different companies that make them. PhotoFlex makes their set, Westcott makes discs, and I'm sure many others do also. So where you actually use them to diffuse and reflect light. And then also there's our standby fill flash, which actually, in these tests, in my opinion, worked quite well. So there's a couple ways to go. And, you know, you can do nothing at all, which I did also, just some spot metering on the face and decent results, but not quite as vibrant as the other shots. I'm going to start with the collapsible disc. These are really neat. I like the 32-inch models, the 30-inch models. They're they're big enough to provide a decent amount of reflection or diffusion, depending on what you're doing. And the 5-in-1 set that I use, and this is one that I really like, the disc itself, which is, again, as I mentioned before, a collapsible disc, so you can kind of fold it up and it fits in a little pouch. And then when you're on location, it expands and you've got like decent surface area to work with. It is made of a stainless or a steel band that's nice and rigid, and then it has translucent white material stretched across it. So you have this big translucent white disc. Now, this is really great for a couple uses, but my favorite use is that when the lighting is really super harsh, I like to mount the disc on a holder. I have a holder that's like a boom with two clips on it, so you can mount the disc with a clip on the top and the bottom, and then that way you can hold the boom arm and position the disc just the way you want. It's very nice. And the other thing that you need for this technique is you do need an assistant. Now, it doesn't have to be someone who's a great photographer, but it does have to be someone that can, you know, follow your instructions as to how to position the disc. And you find which direction the sun is coming, and then you position the disc between the subject and the sun so that it diffuses the light of the sun as it shines on the subject. We call this the portable cloud, and it works really well. If you do nothing else right there, you've reduced the contrast on the subject's face. Suddenly the nose isn't super bright and the eye sockets aren't super dark. You've sort of smoothed everything out a bit. Now, the problem, in my opinion, with only doing that is that I like to throw a little light up into the subject's face also. So I like to diffuse from the top, the light coming down from the top. I like to soften it, and then I like to take a reflector and bring some light in. Now, you have the option, there's two ways you can go on this. You can have a second reflector, a second disc that's a reflector disc, and use that to bounce light up into the subject's face while the light coming from the top is diffused. Now, your subject would either have to hold that reflector, which you can get away with if it's just a head and shoulder shot because the arms will be out of the frame. So you can have either the subject hold the second disc, or you can have a second person hold the disc. Or if you want, you can put it on a stand. I don't really like using the disc on stands on location because sometimes the wind will come up and blow them down. And also, it just seems like I spend more time fiddling around with the stands and the discs than I do actually taking pictures. So I either like the model to hold the reflector disc or have a second assistant. Either way, then you bounce the light from the sun back up into the face while it's being diffused from above. And it's a very nice effect. Now, there are a couple different surfaces that you have to choose from. You have the white surface, which, you know, a lot of times is a very nice, flattering, reflective surface for portraits. A silver surface, a gold surface, and then there's a surface that's a mix of silver and gold, which I think is pretty nice too. The gold, a lot of times, is just too warm of a look. It actually, the subject's skin tones get too yellow goldy. But the silver and gold mix, I think, are very nice, and it's one that I do like to use. Or you can just use regular white. Either way is fine. Now, another route to go, if you don't want to use a reflector for that bouncing the light in, this is where you can use fill flash. And fill flash along with the disc on top that's diffusing the light coming down from the sun, can be a nice combination. So either you can use the disc to reflect up, or you can use fill flash. Before I get away from the reflectors too much, I also want to mention that you can play around with other items to use instead of, you know, purchasing the PhotoFlesh light discs themselves. One of the things that I've used in the past before are the windshield shades for automobiles. And I have one that's actually silver on one side and white on the other, which makes it, you know, a perfect tool for using for portraiture. You can use the silver side if you really want to throw a lot of light back at the subject, or you can turn it around and use the white side if you don't want the light to be quite so intense. Now, again, you need a second person to handle this, but they work really well. They work really well, and in fact, they're nice and long, so you can get a lot of coverage. I've also seen foam core be used for the white reflective surface, and they're nice too, as long as it's not too windy. So you don't have to use the actual PhotoFlesh light disc or the Westcott disc. They're nice because they're collapsible and they're easy to carry around and stuff, but you can use the sunshade for a car, you can use white cardboard, you can use gator board, foam core, whatever you have laying around. The main idea is to, you know, be able to manipulate the light a little bit so that it's shining in the areas that you want. Sometimes, if the light's really intense, I'll use a fill flash instead of a reflector for bouncing that light back in the model's face. One of the reasons is for the comfort of the model. You've got to be careful when you have a silver surface on a bright sunny day and you're bouncing that light right back into the model's face. It can be very hard, and some models have very sensitive eyes, and their eyes will actually start to tear up, and it's painful and uncomfortable. So you have to keep that in mind. You don't want to distress your model, otherwise obviously you're not going to get very good shots, and plus it's just not very nice. So sometimes in these situations, I'll use fill flash instead of the reflector. And fill flash works quite well. We've talked about this before. All you do is make sure that your flash is on. And if you're using a compact camera, make sure that you go to flash on mode. If you're using an SLR, you don't really have to worry about it. You just have to mount the flash and turn it on. And then make sure that you're within the range of the flash, which usually means 8 to 12 feet. Closer to 8 feet for compact cameras. Bigger cameras that have the removable flash units, the accessory flash units, usually can go a little bit farther, 12, 14, 15 feet or so. But check your flash and make sure that you're within the range. And then the flash is a lot easier on the model than the reflectors, because it's just a little burst of light. You still get the catch light in the eyes, which you want. You still get a lot of the benefits of the reflector, but with a little less pain to the model. Now, one of my favorite setups is to actually turn the model So her back is to the sun, and this is especially good with brunettes or women who have their hair, you know, dyed some of those wonderful kind of bronzy colors. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on right now. And it can also work with more fair-haired subjects, but you got to be careful. But the hair can blow out completely. This is a rim lighting technique. So the light from the sun is coming from behind. It creates a rim, right, a light edge around the model's head and shoulders. And then you fill in light from the front. Now you can fill in light from the front either using fill flash or a reflector. Time and time again, especially with models that have darker hair, I love this technique because you get this really nice hair light that separates the model from the background with this beautiful rim lighting. And then you can control the light coming in the front with the flash, and you get that nice front lighting too. Now you want to keep an eye out for lens flare because you might be shooting into the sun. So make sure you have your lens shade on or that you have something shading your lens so that the sun isn't shining directly into the lens. When the sun shines directly onto that front objective piece of glass, what it can do is it reduces contrast and sometimes even image quality. And, you know, you might not even notice it. Sometimes it's sort of subtle. And then you get the lens shaded, and you, that looks a lot better. That's a lot richer. So sometimes we don't notice lens flare unless we make it a point to, play around with the shading of the lens, and then we can see the difference. Now, if you're using rim lighting, that lighting from behind, and you don't use a fill flash, it's a lot harder to get a good exposure on the model's face. You can try spot metering on the model's face, but even then, a lot of times you're going to end up with either underexposed skin tones or the hair just completely blown out. I think it's a better route to go is try to bring in light from the front, either with a flash or with a reflector. Be careful with silver reflectors under these conditions because you can bring in too much light and it'll make the model uncomfortable and just look too bright also. If you're in a park or somewhere where you have trees, you can also do the open shade trick, which is not a bad way to go either. I'll do this a lot of times for group shots if I can find a spot that works, where you put the subject in the shade from a tree, and then usually you'll have still the bright background and all the stuff going on, but they don't have the sun shining directly on their head or into their eyes or anything. And then you turn on a fill flash, right, and bring the light in from the front. So the shade, now the shade is, of course, it's a different kind of light than, for instance, if you're using the translucent photo disc to kind of soften the direct light. But it's still direct light in that situation, where open shade is actually, very much indirect light. And your white balance can change quite a bit in open shade. So suddenly the skin tones can be a lot cooler looking. So you want to keep an eye out on your white balance if you start to work in shade. Now, again, I don't want you to be discouraged from working in shade because I think it's a terrific way to go. You know, put the subjects in a shady area, bring in light from the front with a fill flash, and you can get some really nice looking shots. But at the same time, you might want to change your white balance setting to either custom and take a white balance reading with an Expo disc or paper, whatever you're using, or even try one of the presets such as cloudy in the open shade just to warm up those skin tones a little bit so that people, they don't look too cool and clammy. And speaking of camera settings, I also think these are good shoots for the RAW format. First of all, by shooting in RAW, you're going to milk, everything out of the shot that your camera has to offer. Plus, if you do get the white balance setting off a little bit, let's say you just leave it on auto and you're shooting in open shade and then you're out in bright sunlight and so forth, you do have a chance to get it right in post-production without any penalty. So RAW is probably a good way to go for this type of shoot if your camera has RAW format. Personally, because I'm not real crazy about doing any more correcting in post-production than I have to, I really like to get it right. So I tend to shoot in RAW and then we'll do custom white balance measurements both in the open sunlight and in the shade or anywhere else that I am. And so I'll actually be changing my white balance settings over the course of the shoot if I have time. Now, if I'm shooting a wedding that's running behind schedule a little bit, then I'll probably shoot in RAW and just leave it in auto, knowing that auto will come pretty close for most of the shots, auto white balance that is, and that if there are some shots where it does miss, then I can fix those in post-production. But again, on a wedding, you know, I'm looking at anywhere from 350 to 600 shots. I don't want to have to be, you know, doing any more correcting than possible because I already have a lot to do between the sorting and the cropping and everything else that has to be done with all those images. So I pay a lot of attention to the right white balance setting at capture, hoping to save myself some work on the backside. Regardless of which type of lighting and reflection or fill flash that you're using for portraits, on single portraits, I tend to go with a longer lens, and with bigger group shots, I tend to go with more of a milder telephoto lens, unless I'm indoors or in a cramped area, and then, of course, I have to go with some sort of wide-angle lens. For single portraits, I really like a 300mm lens, and if you have a 400mm lens, you ought to try it, because it can be really, really good. The thing that I love about it, of course, is the effect that it creates of dropping out the background, which is very nice. That way, the subject can just, the viewer of the photo can just really immerse themselves in the subject and looking at how good your lighting is on the model. One thing, though, about using a long lens is pay very close attention to your focusing point. Try to focus on the eyes. Try to focus on the eyes. If the eyes are sharp in a portrait, then you know you have a lot of latitude for everything else. But you don't want to focus on the tip of the nose or the chin or some, you know, maybe hair coming out, forehead, or heaven forbid anything that's in the background where the eyes are not clear, they're not sharp. Those portraits, they'll bother you. They'll bother you. And you'll really notice it when you begin to make prints, you know, 8.5 by 11, 11 by 14. Those eyes that aren't sharp will bug you. So if you're using a telephoto lens for a single portrait, make sure that you keep an eye on where the camera's focusing. Try to focus on the eyes and be very precise about your focusing. Now, on group shots, a lot of times, depending on how big the group shot is and everything, I will shoot those at, you know, with a 50mm lens, if I can get away with it, with an 85mm lens. Watch out for depth of field on a group shot. If you have a couple rows of people, right, and you have them all lined up there in the open shade and you're really proud of yourself, you got the fill flash coming in, you've made the white balance adjustment, and you're feeling really good, make sure that you don't have the front person and the back person too far apart, especially if your lens is wide open or close to wide open, where you have a shallow depth of field, because it's possible that the person in the front could be in focus and not the person in the back, or vice versa. So keep an eye on that. I usually like to stop down, if I can, on group shots to at least f5.6, f8 if I can get away with it, just to give myself a little bit more latitude in terms of focusing. So that's another thing to keep in mind. There's so many things to keep in mind, aren't there, when you're doing this? You know, first you got the lighting, and then you got the white balance, you got the focusing, you got the exposure. You know, my gosh, how do we ever survive these photo shoots? When I'm shooting single portraits with the long lens, the 300mm, 400mm lens, I like to have the lens, the aperture, fairly wide open. If I can get away with it absolutely wide open, I'll go for it. And again, you just have to pay very special attention to where the camera is focusing. But if you nail it, those types of shots can look absolutely wonderful. The eyes will be sharp. Some of the other features, such as the nose, will be softened a little bit, and you'll have a nice soft background. It can look fabulous, and you'll make a friend for life on, with whoever your subject is for that type of shoot. So just to wrap up here a little bit, one of the things I think is always a good idea for model shoots is to have an assistant, someone to help you hold reflectors, keep an eye on the model, make sure all the buttons are buttoned, make sure the necklace is hanging straight, make sure there isn't any hair in the eye, things like that, because you're already thinking about focusing and white balance and exposure and all that sort of stuff. So having a second person for portraiture is a really useful thing. And if you have two people to help you, then you have lots of extra hands for holding reflectors and diffusers and things like that. Make sure you bring your flash, because sometimes it comes in handy if the reflectors won't work for any particular reason. The sun's too intense, you can't quite get the light you want, whatever. So fill flash is a good thing to have. If you have an extension cord or something where you can get the flash off the camera, I think that's a good idea. A lot of times, you know, where you can hold the flash up a little bit higher over the camera and get a little bit nicer angle on that fill light, that can be quite flattering. So bring your flash. Bring your flash extension cord, bring all of your reflectors. If you don't have these collapsible photo discs, you know, use your car windshield shade, foam core, whatever you happen to have, and then just get out and play with it. Play with it. You know, you will learn really fast if you play around with these techniques of what your eye likes and what your eye doesn't like. The neat thing about it is that suddenly the whole world becomes your photo studio. I mean, even with the PhotoFlex 5-in-1 multi-disc light disc set that I was using, the 30-inch model or the 32-inch model, I don't remember exactly, with all the different covers and everything, that's like right around $100 U.S., and that virtually what that means is then the whole world becomes your photo studio for portraiture. And it's a lot easier, especially as we're coming into the time of year where weather's nicer, to do something like that than it is to construct this whole studio scenario in your house or wherever. So these are fun techniques. We're coming into a good time of year for trying them out. Get someone that wants their picture taken, take them outside, get a few friends to help you, and see what you come up with. I think you'll have a lot of fun. Don't forget about the photo assignment for this month, self-portraiture. Turn that camera around and focus it on you. Go get some shots, and I'll see you here next week. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.